Alrighty, welcome back to the Tink Me Later podcast. I'm your host, Noah Rubin. Today we are going to talk about five rookies and how they've looked so far and how we can assess that for Dynasty Leagues. But before we do that, let's go ahead and run some intro music. So this is the first episode in a little over a month, but we're going to save any sort of housekeeping stuff for the end of this episode. But this is going to be the format kind of moving forward, which is shorter episodes and straight to the point. So if you don't care for that housekeeping stuff, you can skip it at the end. But we'll go ahead and get into it. We're going to talk about five rookies today. And it actually is the five leading scores among rookies so far this season. Obviously, everybody knows that this is not the most exciting rookie class, or at least wasn't initially, and the early results kind of line up with that. But there's still been plenty to be excited about and a lot of fun play. So we'll start with the number one overall pick, Zachary Risache, and get his NBA page pulled up here with some of his stats. So he's the leading scorer among rookies at 12 points per game, obviously not ideal and not anywhere near the top pick in past classes, but as we're recording this, he's coming off an incredible game last night where he had 33.7 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 6 threes, shot 61% from the field, didn't turn the ball over in a win over the Knicks. That's, you know, if that's the type of play that he can provide as he grows, obviously we're not expecting it to be consistently that good, but it shows his upside. It's like, okay, like this is the guy that Atlanta select number one overall. This is what they had in mind. A guy that can play defense, a guy that can space the floor and open it up for Trae Young to make some plays. So got to be happy with this game last night, both from a fantasy perspective and just a general NBA perspective, whether you have him rostered or not. He looked very good, very exciting. So over the course of the season, averaging 12 points per game, 3.6 rebounds, 1.3 assists, 1.1 steals, just a little less than a block per game, 1.6 threes. Not shooting the ball great, a hair below 38% from the floor, 29% from three, 64% from the free throw line. Not great numbers, but he's still young. Just like any other rookie, he's going to have his shooting struggles. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, in their next game or over the next few games, he has a stinker in there. Just because he had this incredible game that gets us pretty excited doesn't mean that this is going to be the norm for him from now on. But it definitely does kind of say, okay, like I see the upside here. And it's not just, you know, the idea of Risache that is exciting. Because I think that's what it was to me, was I wasn't super high on him coming into the draft because I wasn't really a believer that he could reach his potential and that he could be the prospect that I think the idea of what he was supposed to be was. But he's kind of shown it a little bit so far in flashes, inconsistently. So we have a guy that can space the floor, rebound the ball fairly well. I think he's a better playmaker than I originally thought. I think he had like a negative assist turnover ratio or less than one. Averaged like 0.9 steals per game last season, playing internationally. So to me, it was like, oh, like, is there any playmaking upside here at all? And the numbers aren't great. Like, he just had 3 assists in a game for the first time. So it's not like he's going to be, you know, really helping in that category. But I think you watch him play and you see, you know, a few behind the back passes here and there. He definitely knows how to play within an offense and make reads out of it. Obviously he's never going to be a main assist guy because Trae Young is there and has the ball in his hands. And when he doesn't, Jalen Johnson does. And if he doesn't, then Dyson Daniels is probably the next best ball handler available right now because Bogdan Bogdanovic, Cody Bufkin haven't even been playing. But Risache can definitely do that a little bit. I think the defensive numbers are really what has been the most pleasant surprise to me. I was, you know, I think expecting him to have upside to be a good defender, but I wasn't really expecting it to necessarily translate to defensive stats. So this last game, getting 3 steals and 2 blocks is definitely the most encouraging performance that we've seen from him this year, but he does have another three steal game, another two steal game, a couple of games with two blocks. So I think seeing that defensive production, like the upside for that, is very encouraging. And on top of that, him hitting threes at a higher rate, higher percentage than he has all season in their last game was a lot of fun to watch. So he's definitely somebody to monitor. I know he's been starting because DeAndre Hunter's out, and we don't really know how much longer he's going to be out. So it should be a lot of minutes for Risashe moving forward. And also, when Hunter comes back, like this guy that you just drafted number one overall has scored in double figures in three straight games, four out of the last five, just is coming off a 33-point game. So it's like if Hunter comes back for their next game, you can't bench this guy. This is the guy that you just drafted number one overall. So I expect Risashe to be the starting small forward for the Hawks for the rest of the season and for a while after that. As long as it's not like this is just one performance, then he just can't build off of it. You know, he's obviously going to have to keep earning it. This doesn't solidify him as Rookie of the Year or this monster prospect, but seeing the upside there, it's like they're going to want to focus on continuing to develop that because, I mean, right now they have wins. This was their best win so far because this was their fourth win of the year with wins over the Nets and Hornets at home to start the year. Then they won in New Orleans with half their rotation out. So this was their first like good win of the year. So the Hawks aren't this contending team. This is a nice retooling year for them. So a lot of Risashe usage should be expected for the rest of this year. For the next two, we are going to head to Memphis. Before we talk about Zach Edey, we'll talk about Jalen Wells, which is not a player that I was expecting to be talking about this early in the season. So it's kind of cool that we're getting to, drafted in the second round. I'm sure Memphis wasn't having or planning on playing him this much, but he earned it during summer league, during training camp, was part of the rotation from opening night, but the last four games, he's actually been part of the starting unit. So those games since starting, his first start was on Halloween. It was 16.7 boards, three threes, 15 points, five boards, two threes. And then he had an iffy game where he only had 6 points, didn't hit a three, had five boards. And then bounced back on Wednesday night, had 20 points, three rebounds, five threes, and a win over the Lakers. Been starting with Desmond Bane out, along with, I mean, Vince Williams is out, Marcus Smart is out, G.G. Jackson's still out. So, yeah, it's taken a lot of guys being sidelined for him to, like, be part of the starting lineup and had the entire rotation been healthy from day one since both Vince Williams and G.G. Jackson were out before the season started. He may not have been part of the rotation, but it's another, you know, I guess under the radar success story for the Grizzlies. He's definitely a guy that can be part of the team's rotation for years to come and contribute to winning early on. He's comes in as a slightly older rookie, not as old as some of the other rookies in this class, but 21 years old. So ready to contribute. That's what they were expecting. And a guy that is able to come in and space the floor. So as far as fantasy goes, that's the extent of what he provides. He hits threes. The rebounds are fine. He's 6'7", so that's kind of expected. So the numbers this year, 10.9 points, 3.7 rebounds, 1.8 assists, 1.9 threes. During the four starts, 14.3 points, 5 rebounds, 1.8 assists, 2.5 threes. Shooting pretty well, 50% from the floor, 83% from the line, and 45% from three as a starter. So that's obviously an incredibly efficient percentage. They'll definitely be looking to get him some open shots as long as he's part of the rotation and hitting it as effectively as he is. In short term in deeper redraft leagues, if you need threes, yeah, he'll be able to help. But with Desmond Bane being, I think, week to week, I don't remember the exact timeline for Marcus Smart off the top of my head. I think G.G. Jackson's gonna be out for a while, but Vince Williams is getting closer to a return. So it could be that within 3 to 4 weeks, Jalen Wells is getting 10 minutes per game, if that. But it's worth noting that he's played really well to start the year. A second round pick in a bad class, or what is considered a bad class. He's been very important for Memphis, which is pretty cool to see. And he'll continue to start until they get some of these guys back. So the next few games for them, they play at home against Washington on Friday, which we'll get into talking about some of the other Wizards guys, and then in Portland on Sunday. So expect more threes, maybe a couple of rebounds here and there. But yeah, that's not a very in-depth fantasy game here for Wells. I don't think that he probably has more value in dynasty leagues than he did at the beginning of the year or around draft time. But not a guy that, you know, I'd be looking to buy in on because he's about to pop. Like he's a rotation player in the NBA. Appears based on the early results is that he's going to have a long career. But I don't think he's got this superstar upside in fantasy basketball, which is okay. It's not the case for everyone. But he's played well, so it's kind of cool. We will stick in Memphis and talk about Zach Edey, who I think had some pretty high expectations, especially in fantasy, entering his rookie year. Memphis selected him with the number 9 pick. I saw him. I mean, to me, he was more of a late lottery, just outside the lottery kind of guy heading into the draft. But it was more of a situational fit in Memphis because they didn't have Steven Adams anymore. They really needed a big body center. And they had the number 9 pick, which only happened because of the amount of injuries that they dealt with, led to Edey going number 9. And, you know, very good in summer league and preseason when he played. And then got to the regular season. It was like, oh, the minutes are not there. This is kind of frustrating because he was one of the first rookies picked in most redraft formats. You know, kind of that top 100, just outside top 100 range because it wasn't an exciting rookie class. But so far, he's averaging 10.8 points, 6.6 rebounds, 0.8 blocks, shooting 64% from the floor. But the main number that we need to focus on is that he's only playing 19.1 minutes per game. Jay Huff has played really well, which is probably a factor there. It's also, you know, sometimes matchup dependent. Zach Edey at 7'4", 305 has some matchups that are just going to be better for him than others. It's, you know, so some of his best games, he played 23 minutes against the Bucks, had 10 points, 8 rebounds, 22 minutes against Andre Drummond on the 76ers, 10 points, 10 rebounds. And then in Brooklyn, which was their second game against the Nets, they lost the first one and he only played 18 minutes. He played 29 minutes in the second one. That was the best game of his career. 25 points, 12 rebounds, 4 blocks, shot 11 of 12 from the field and hit a nice 3-pointer kind of coming down in transition. Just a nice catch and shoot, no hesitation. And it's that idea of Zach Edey that makes him an exciting player in fantasy, even though he is an older prospect coming in. He's closer to 23 than he is to have just turned 22. Don't have his exact birthday here. No, I do. May 14th, 2002. Okay. Yeah. So it's about 22 and a half. Pretty much right on par with that. I don't know why this says 22.7, but whatever. And he's a bigger center. Obviously, he's, you know, doesn't necessarily translate to what the modern NBA has decided a center is. I think there's been some guys that are very effective that have been kind of played off the court at times because they're bigger centers that can't switch. I think that was an issue with Walker Kessler the last 2 years. Hasn't been one this year. But it's been a little bit of a thing with Edey. You know, has played less than 15 minutes already 4 times, less than 20 minutes 5 times, despite being a starter, yet to play 30 minutes in a game. So, yeah, I mean, from a fantasy perspective, we're in the games that he's played at least 20 minutes. He's been very good, or at least kind of what we were hoping he could be. The other game that he played over 20 minutes, other than the three I mentioned, was the second game of the year. He had 13 points, 9 rebounds, a steal, and a block, and a loss to Houston in 23 minutes. So it's right now, it's just about can he stay on the floor? How much is Memphis going to use him? Because when he's on the floor, he has no issues getting to about 10 plus points, dominating the glass, getting some blocks. Last game, you know, they beat the Lakers by a lot. It was kind of impacted the rotations with the lopsided score a little bit. Played less than 15 minutes, 8.7 rebounds. Kind of disappointing to see after a big game the two nights before. So keeping an eye on the minutes here is probably the most important thing because, I mean, he's third in rookie scoring, but he's the only one playing less than 20 minutes per game. So hopefully in certain matchups, he'll be able to play more. And some of those will hopefully be coming up. Just looking ahead, the next few games may not be ideal, but we'll see. Friday is against the Wizards. So they have Jonas Valanciunas, which is probably a better matchup for Edie, like similar size and things. But from what I'm remembering, they haven't really even started him as much as they were planning to. Alex Saar has been starting center, which will be a good matchup to see two of the best rookie bigs going up against each other. Then they go to Portland on Sunday. DeAndre Ayton, Donovan Klingon, maybe Robert Williams even gets in the rotation. So we'll see how they use him there. And then next week at the Lakers, at the Warriors. Warriors not an ideal matchup for him. I'm assuming that that's going to be one of those games that he plays less than 15 minutes. The Lakers may be a little bit of a better situation for that, but we'll see. Because he didn't play much in this last one, but they didn't have Anthony Davis. So we'll see how that impacts things. All right, the next two rookies we'll talk about are Wizards. So we talked about a Hawk, we talked about two Grizzlies, and now we're going to talk about two Wizards. And it's not just to leave off Keyshawn George, but we're going to talk about, because he's sixth in scoring, so looking like a really good class for the Wizards so far. But I think part of that, and I love that they're doing this, is they're just kind of saying, yeah, we're tanking and rebuilding. We're going to play the three guys that we just drafted in the first round a lot of minutes, and we're going to see how it goes. And it's like more rebuilding / tanking / young teams should be very intentional about that and saying that, because there are definitely some veterans that they could have started over their younger guys, but they're prioritizing it. Smart. So Bob Carrington, let's see, he's played six games so far, started five of them. So 29 minutes per game, averaging 10 points, 10.3 points, 4.3 rebounds, 4.8 assists, 1.2 threes, shooting 93% from the free throw line, 44% from the floor, which is, you know, very good for a rookie guard. It's always interesting because a lot of rookie guards struggle early on, especially trying to run an offense. Now he has had Jordan Poole there to help him as well, but it's not like he's been off the ball. Like, he has the ball in his hands a lot. So it's encouraging to see him play really well, but also maddening to see him play really well and then other young guards not, such as like Scoot Henderson having a lot of growing pains as we try and figure him out. So, but it's been good to see Bub doing well, and everybody's trajectory and growth rate is different. So just because Bub is playing well immediately does not mean that Scoot will never figure it out. But so the last game, he had 16 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. He had another game, or the game before that, didn't shoot the ball well against the Heat, but had 4 rebounds, 8 assists, 4 steals. He had a couple other, or another 16-point game against the Hawks. So, yeah, he's looked really good so far, both redraft and dynasty leagues. Got to be very excited about what he provides for the rest of the season, because, like I said, the Wizards are going to play him, and they're going to play him a lot. Because they want to figure out what they have and just how good he can be, give him these reps to develop. And it'll pay off in 2 or 3 years when they're ready to return to the postseason. May not be, you know, contenders for a couple of years after that, but when they're ready to return to the playoffs, you can't say that Bub won't have enough experience to be ready to contribute. So yeah, he's been very good so far. And then as has Alex Saar, who is the last rookie we'll talk about here. And it's been pretty close to what I expected for Saar as a rookie. Maybe a little bit better in certain areas, a little bit worse in others. But just while I'm pulling his numbers up, you know, the expectation was that he was going to start at power forward, which has happened once. And the rest of the games, he's basically been the starting center, or has been starting center. So far, he's playing 25 minutes per game, 9.8 points, 7 rebounds, 1.7 assists, 2.8 blocks, and a 3. Shooting 36% from the floor and 79% from the free throw line, 21% from 3 on 5 attempts per game. So, yeah, they're wanting to... they're telling him, let it fly. Let's, you know, get the reps, just like with Bub, just like with Keyshawn George. You're the future. Let's see what you got. So the blocks have been better than I expected. I'm not saying he was going to be a bad shot blocker. I was expecting him to be a bad shot blocker, but wasn't expecting him to have at least two blocks in every game of his career so far and be averaging 2.8, you know, last three games, three blocks, four blocks, four blocks. So, like, I mean, that alone has him on Basketball Monster ranked 68th in 9 cat leagues. Did not expect any of the rookies to be top 100 guys, but it is kind of inflated by being among the league leaders in block shots. So that's encouraging. He is, you know, I think what made him versatile and an intriguing prospect was his perimeter defense, which he has been able to show at times, hasn't, you know, gotten him many steals, but his ability to switch on to more athletic or smaller guards, be able to stay in front, move his feet, that's what made him an intriguing prospect. So even if it was frustrating because I wanted the Hawks to draft him and play center, and then it was like a weird, I'm not going to work out for you guys, and people were saying, that's what I thought it was that he wanted to play power forward, not center. And now he's with the Wizards, and now he's playing center. So I don't know if it was something else or he's just accepted that he's fine playing center now. Not really sure, but from a fantasy perspective, still a guy that's a fan of his game and high on him, I'm excited to see him playing center because the block shot's been great. Coming off the first double-double of his career, he had 10 points and 11 rebounds. So that was encouraging to see. So I think the main question mark with him was he going to be not soft, but like able to, you know, bruise down in the paint with some of the bigger body centers. And, you know, the double-double did come against the Warriors, who are, you know, a smaller rotation, smaller lineup. But the double-double is still good to see, and we'll see if he can add more of those as he plays more games and is able to make, you know, continue to make an impact in the paint. Seeing him shoot 5 threes per game, if he can get that to 33%, right now he's hitting a three per game. If he can get to 1.5 threes, like that's like, I think like 33% would be pretty good for him for a, like a rookie. And then the field goal percentage, it's been, you know, pretty iffy. He has one good game where he shot over 50%, or really over 40%. The second best game of his career was a 40% night. Which I think was expected to be kind of an issue for him as a rookie, as like that he would potentially struggle with field goal percentage, and that was going to limit his fantasy impact in 9 cat leagues, because a lot of rookies that contribute off the bat have high field goal percentages because they're centers that are just taking layups, getting easy looks at the basket, shooting a high percentage anyway. That wasn't going to be the case with Sarr because he can space the floor. He does like to shoot mid-range shots. So yeah, 36% is not good, but the fact that they're like telling him shoot 5 threes a game, like they obviously believe that he can develop into a really good floor spacer and a guy that, you know, they want him to do that. So for dynasty managers, have to be very excited about what we've seen so far. Even if the results haven't been perfect or great, the process behind them has been what we'd want to see for the guy they just selected with the number 2 overall pick. And then we can just, I mean, mention a couple other rookies that have looked good. We won't talk too in depth. Keyshawn George is playing a lot, like I said. Tristan Da Silva, he's been starting in place of Paolo Banchero. Pell Larson was kind of part of Miami's rotation the other night. You know, kind of there, not super exciting. Dalton Connect was kind of disappointing. He got a start on Wednesday night, didn't really do much with it. Ryan Dunn, we'll definitely talk about him at a later date because I'm happy to continue to talk about Ryan Dunn every chance I get. And his three-point renaissance that was never hinted at during college. So a lot of exciting, I guess, under the radar exciting. Exciting for us dynasty nerds, us dynasty sickos. That love all these little intricate in-depth details. So has it been, oh, there's going to be 8 future all-stars in this draft class, but a lot of guys are going to be able to contribute in fantasy eventually, or and some that have been able to contribute pretty early on. But yeah, that's going to be kind of the format from now on. No, I haven't done an episode in about a month, just because things got busy. But my plan is to do one of these on Monday and Friday every week. I just wanted to do one today because I'll be traveling tomorrow just to kind of still kick it off. But sorry, next week, one of these on Monday, one of these on Fridays. Monday's talking about non-rookies. Friday's talking about rookies. And then over at Roto World on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'll have Dynasty columns coming out. Tuesdays about non-rookies, Thursdays about rookies. And then also over at Roto World, doing the Roto World basketball show on Wednesdays and the Roto World Q&A on Tuesdays as well. So plenty of content coming from me this year. And if you want to stay up to date with all that, you can just find me on Twitter at NoahRubin22. I tweet out all the links to my stuff, so you can stay up to date with that. But this is going to be the format from now on. Shorter, 20, like max 30-minute episodes, depending on how in-depth we want to go, to talk about some guys that have some value in Dynasty Leagues, guys that we need to be worried about, guys that, you know, might be on the cusp of a breakout. And it'll just kind of depend. And then at some point, we'll talk about the upcoming rookie class once we've gotten some more games played at the collegiate level. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Take Me Later podcast, and I will see you next time.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.